Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Kerry Finch.
The secret sauce of brands, I think it's about having purpose. It's nothing new that I'm saying, but purpose is so strong and it's everything. More people want to interact with a brand that they believe in, that shares their values, than ever before.
Prior to founding Future Factor, formerly Finch Factor, in 2009, Kerry was PR director at Wieden Kennedy. There, she wrangled brands such as Nike and Heineken, Coca-Cola, and Electronic Arts. Kerry has been voted Adformatsy magazine's top 10 industry influencers for the past 3 years. As founding partner and president of Future Factor, Kerry continues to drive change in the industry while advancing her work as the Netherlands representatives for the Cannes Lions Festival of Creativity, board member of the ADCN, advisory member of Include Now, and the founder of She Says Amsterdam. Kerry, welcome to On Brand.
Hi there. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
It is great to chat with you, and certainly with someone that has such a diverse background in terms of, I was going to say brands worked with, but your bio notes brands wrangled. And that's a much more interesting word choice, and I would say probably accurate.
Well, sometimes, you know what it's like. It is a bit like herding kittens, trying to get everybody facing in the right direction. So, I don't know, horse rustling, wrangling, herding kittens. Yeah, it's all the same thing.
So in speaking of that kitten wrangling work,
yes.
in your time working, you know, as part of a large agency, wrangling those brands and then leading your own shop, have things changed? Have things shifted? What have been some of the big trends that you're tracking with?
Gosh, everything has changed in the 10 years since I set up what was Finch Factor, now Future Factor. You know, there's social, you know, has come into play. We have to remember that, you know, the building a brand through social platforms just wasn't really around 10, 15 years ago. And digital, of course, is also, you know, is the air we breathe. And that wasn't necessarily the case 15 years ago. We were very naive, I think, all of us, about what digital was and, ooh, is it here to stay? And I think it probably is. So, you know, the world has changed. That was actually part of why we renamed our company. I brought two partners in, or they joined the company about a year ago, 18 months ago. And we were looking at, you know, what we're going to do because my name is above the door. I didn't want my name above the door anymore. And actually, it was a brilliant opportunity to rebrand our company, you know, tipping a hat to the fact that, oh, my goodness, you know, the world has changed in the 10 years since I set it up. And actually, we as people have changed. You know, I don't want the same things that I did 10 years ago. I have a different attitude to brands probably than I did 10 years ago. And the industry is so fragmented. It's changing and moving and fracturing at such speed. You know, we all need to be looking to the future always.
Well, I think it's interesting you made this point on is the, I mean, I feel like that's a really accurate assessment of the, you know, the first part of the past 10 years of is social here to stay? And now it seems like, that seems pretty safe. But that kind of in and of itself brings something different to marketing teams in terms of, okay, this isn't some sort of scrappy offshoot off to the side of the rest of our marketing efforts. It seems like, you know, what that means, if it is here to stay, is that part of that future that we're looking for, that you address in your name, is something that's maybe a little more integrated than it has been in the past.
I agree. I absolutely. You know, what's really fundamental is that, you know, is that brands don't tell consumers what to do. Consumers choose what to do, and they want a brand who almost stands beside them in their thinking. And I think social gives people also the opportunity to, you know, we're always on these days. So brands have to be aware of that, and they have to protect themselves, you know, against the fact that we're always on, and that social, everybody's a commentator, everybody can have a positive or a negative opinion about your brand or about each other, and that is huge for brands. You know, that's why there's so much talk around authenticity and truth these days. You know, I think that we're always on, and brands are being stared at and supported or ridiculed, you know, to the minutiae detail. And, you know, that's something that we all need to both, you know, in some ways celebrate that we all have a voice, but in many ways, you know, we just have to be careful. You can build a brand and have it crash about your feet so fast these days because of scandals, you know, that go around the world so incredibly fast on social, and they might not even be true. You know, I mean, we see it in politics right now. You know, Trump's in the White House. We have Boris Johnson in the UK. There's Brexit going on, and it doesn't seem to matter what people are saying. It's, you know, people like their own echo chambers, and people don't seem to mind that there are clear, barefaced lies out there from our own politicians. You know, it's not a good example to be held up to, you know, where brands are concerned, when our own politicians are just full of lies. I don't know quite which rabbit hole I went down there, but
I feel like it's to fish you out of the rabbit hole. I feel like it's easy to fall into, because I feel like that conversation is kind of full of rabbit holes. And you mentioned some of the things that we run into a lot, particularly the authenticity kind of buzzword that we're always grappling with. But you painted that picture in an interesting way, talking about what this continued existence, prevalence of social means, is this always on. And I never quite combined those two until you mentioned that, just in terms of the impact and what that means, that we're always on, we're striving for authenticity, and I feel like we don't really treat those like the same thing as much as we should. We look for, how can we add this authenticity secret sauce or topping to what we're doing, as opposed to the fact that, yeah, we're being stared at. What can we do about that?
Yeah, and it puts a lot of power in the consumer's hands, which is good. But often those, you know, we all aren't educated enough with information, and, you know, that can become a dangerous, you know, situation. But the secret sauce of brands, I think it's about having purpose. You know, it's nothing new that I'm saying, but purpose is so strong, and it's everything. And, you know, more people want to to interact with a brand that they believe in, that shares their values, than ever before. And, you know, which is great. And many brands these days, of course, are shaping themselves up. The newer brands, they're like little speedboats. They can, you know, they can move with the tide. The bigger steamerships take longer. You know, the older brands that have more heritage that perhaps needs, you know, looking into. And, you know, we're all building the rocket as we're flying. And I think that is something where, you know, if we're always on, consumers have an opportunity to look under the bonnet as we're driving, as we're building, you know, the rocket, basically. And I just think brands more and more and more need to be aware of that, need to be aware of, you know, what is their voice? How do they, how do you express your voice? What is your brand value and purpose? Why should anybody listen to you, actually, as a brand? You know, what is it that you're connecting with, and how do you do that? And yeah, that's a big, you know, that's a big deal. It's exciting, but it's also, you know, you're building the rocket as you fly. So, yeah, make sure the wheels don't come off. Are there wheels on rockets? Who knows?
Something's got to wheel it out of the hangar. It can't just appear on the launch pad.
Exactly.
So there's wheels
those
involved.
Wheels. You've got to be careful about those wheels.
So now, speaking of that, would you say that of all those things you talked about, authenticity, about voice, about purpose, it sort of seems like purpose drives all of that. Is that the case? Is that the leading? Because it seems like if you have a purpose, authenticity, what you stand for and how you comport yourself, it seems like it would be easier than a purposeless brand.
I mean, there's always going to be brands where you just don't need a purpose, you know. But you know, there's a lot of choice out there, and so you've got to choose in some way. And I was just about to say, you know, like a fishmonger's, it doesn't matter, you just buy fish. But actually, you know, that fishmonger's, you know, might believe in sustainable fishing. It might believe in local, only selling local fish. You know, that's purpose. That's authenticity. That's their truth. You know, how do you express that? How do you get more eyeballs and more footfall and more money coming into that fishmonger's? You know, so it's. Actually, you know, it kind of is the backbone these days of, I think, you know, but it has to be authentic. It's no good bolting it on as a, hey, you know, we're a fishmongers and we now believe in planting trees. It's like, what's that got to do with your business? You know, I don't know how I get to fish, but there we go.
Well, I think you were reaching for a, you know, something transactional. And I think that for the fishmongers out there and the other, you know, and because these are going to be the same sorts of businesses that are also going to think that probably a lot of what we do with brand building might not be as relevant because I'm just fish someone buys. And I think that for those types of transactional businesses that they are going to get some of that. But I think, you know, what you just talked about in painting the picture of a different fishmonger to really double down on the fish is that's going to be a fishmonger that has more customers over time, I would imagine, than just the purposeless transactional fishmonger.
Exactly. I think that's a really good point that you're making. It's about making connections and making relationships, isn't it? It's all about relationships. And that's what communication is, you know, at its very basis, is hearts and minds. It's about changing hearts and minds and appealing to hearts and minds. And you know, there's, you know, baseless, you know, boring transaction. And then there's something that I believe in that appeals to me, that sings, you know, the same song that I believe in. And that has longevity. And I think brands are of course, waking up to that, you know, and brands don't have to, whatever, Nike, for example, you know, they understand that it's not just about the shoe, it's almost a religion. And, you know, what makes you worship at the cult of Nike. You know, it's what they believe in. It's how they conduct themselves, both in business and with their staff and so on. You know, that's how you build longevity, is because you're listening to your consumer, to your fans. And it's about building fans. I think that's what makes a difference to a brand, is, you know, building fans, basically. And fans can come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So to move off of fish to fans, which thank you for the alliterative segue, and not just a segue, it had some alliteration. It seemed all fancy and planned and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
From fish to fans. But how do you, you talk about people being able to, you know, that's the goal that we're all after. How do you do that? That seems like a difficult task to operationalize, to use a very boring business word.
I mean, that's a really great question, and some brands get it right and some brands don't. And I don't think there's a magic wand to it. But I do think it's about finding your voice and owning your voice at its most basic level. You know, you have to appeal to people, and you have to understand who you are and what you are and why you are before you can actually then go forwards and start communicating. And I think that brands sometimes forget, oh, we have vision, mission, purpose. Great. We'll go forward and sell items, sell units. and actually, but how do you communicate with people out there? How do you translate, the basis of what your brand is into a communication strategy which has a life and which has depth and breadth to it? And I think, well, that's what, you know, we do at Future Factor, is we're looking very closely at, you know, how do you communicate who you are? How do you create cut through? And for us, it's about thought leadership. For us, you know, thought leadership and, you know, having ambassadors who are working service to the brand, you know, that's everything for us. That's almost like, you know, the building blocks from which, you know, the fireworks will fly. You know, that's our approach. It's a very communications-based approach rather than anything else, anything more siloed.
Speaking of things that have changed over the past few years, it seems anecdotally like the work of thought leadership, which really had extreme growth, has I don't know if changed is the right way to put this a bit, but it seems like it's harder because the level of noise has increased significantly.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. You know, when I started the company, you know, let's say 10 years ago, it was not easy, because nothing's particularly easy, but, you know, there were certain journalists, there were certain platforms out there where, you know, we would go and talk to them about, you know, a client of ours, whether it's, you know, a brand or an agency or a production company. And we would help them, you know, create their own voice and create their story. So for us, it's about narratives and landing those narratives with the right people at the right time. And, you know, we would work with a lot of opportunities around opinion editorial, or, you know, we get our clients on stages, or we get our clients on juries, you know, that kind of work. But there are different ways of having impact in terms of thought leadership. And nowadays, you know, there are often fewer journalists on the same publication, so they're working three times as hard because they don't have the staff, they don't have time to talk to you. And then there are many, many, many platforms out there, you know, that we can now associate ourselves with and try and influence, and then the number of conferences and stages and festivals that are out there is just mind-boggling. And so all that content and all those different channels, is it's just noise. And so absolutely it's harder to have cut through because there's so much noise. That's what I love. I like that chase of how do we get there? How do we help our clients, you know, really have something to say and say it well at the right time in the right place. And that's everything these days. You know, we work a lot on consultancy in order to get the narrative straight and strong and real. You know, you've got to own it as an ambassador for your brand. You've got to be able to own it. Of course, each different person and each different stakeholder will adopt, you know, their own twist. But it has to ladder up to the main objective of the brand and what the brand stands for. And we're doing a lot more work down that end of the pipe. In order to be able to have a stronger impact when it comes to how do you land that message? How do you land that theme or that narrative? You've got to just know what you're talking about so much more than before, because I think there's just, you know, we're awash with channels and we're awash with words out there and sound and noise. So yeah, that's how I think, you know, that's what we're doing in terms of how to create cut through.
Well, awash with channels feels like a very accurate description. And I think that another way that you hit the nail on the head was we spend so much time on crafting and articulating the right message. That it's easy to miss that almost as big a challenge today, if not bigger, is where is the right place for this message to be?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. And you know, that's difficult when you've got a client who's relying on you to land a really strong message, you know, by which I don't mean, oh, here's an advert and this must, you know, let's all talk about the advert. You know, it's about, okay, how do we convince people that this brand is worth spending time with? You know, how do we convince people that this brand has an opinion? You know, because if you don't have an opinion, then what are you saying? You know, and that's kind of rule one of us working with clients. It's okay, do we think that this brand has an opinion, or can we at least excavate and work with the brand in order to create and sharpen that opinion? Because if we don't find that, we're just adding to the chatter, and that can be soul destroying. You know, I've been around the block and there have been times when that's happened, you know, but that's something that we really look for when we're working, taking on a new client. We want to make sure that we are adding positive value to the conversation and that they can stand on their own two feet as a brand and add positive value to the conversation.
Adding positive value to the conversation. That is a great goal and one that is kind of aligned back to the purpose that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Speaking of purpose, authenticity, and so forth, one of the ways in which brands can be the most authentic is to make their audience smile. So, Carrie, it has come the time for me to ask you, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Oh, I'm conflicted about this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's Peloton. Now, it made me smile. The whole situation that's blown up around Peloton has made me smile. So I don't do that exercise thing. I'm not one of those people. I will not be spending, you know, $2,000 plus on a Peloton machine. However, I do, you know, some of my best friends are Peloton users. And I, of course, I've seen the adverts and I've seen the backlash. And then during that period, a friend of mine who who runs a production company, a woman, she took me into a Peloton shop that we happened to be passing because she wanted to show me the machine that she'd bought and that she was so delighted with. And so I just find it fascinating, this backlash against the advert, which I do think is not brilliant. You know, I think it is rather sexist. I don't know whether it's dystopian. I think that's going a bit too far. Let's all sit down and think about this, people. But I do think it is really stupid and sexist. And my friend is a smart businesswoman who works in production. And she said to me, because I said, well, you've seen the ads, right? Because I was very cynical. And she said, yeah, but look at the machines. They're brilliant. I love it. It's got this brilliant community online. And I started digging into it. And I thought, this is fascinating that a brand like Peloton, who does have this really strong community online, and, you know, they have real fans. And as far as I'm concerned, they just messed up on making a really dumbass advert. And so I found that difference, you know, I couldn't understand how they got there with that advert. And so that whole situation, does it make me smile? It certainly makes me chuckle in that, you know, I thought they had it sorted. I thought they knew what they were doing. They've built this brilliant community. One of my best friends loves these machines despite the adverts. So they're certainly doing something right.
Well, I love that. That's a great, very topical exploration. And sometimes I qualify the question if folks are struggling with a brand that's made them smile, that it can be an authentic beaming smile from an amazing experience, or the less often used, and I think applies here, kind of the head shaking smile.
Exactly.
But I think you made a really good point in there, too, because it's easy to forget with all the headlines and all of the chatter and the echo chamber about that you're absolutely right, that I first heard of the Peloton brand from a friend very much like yours that was busy and was a part of this community and loved it. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it's a big reminder of a misstep like this. Again, I agree that it's a misfire and a bit of a sexist ad. But
I don't think they need to be sacrificed on the altar of goodness. You know, I think it's gone too far. And I think that this is an example of what happens with social media and the world of, you know, the digital world, is that brands are always on, you know, and this is sort of caught fire for people. And it's being held up as an example of sexism and poor, you know, poor choices, basically, and poor marketing. And I think it's gone too far, but I certainly think Peloton can bounce back. They did have a stupid comment, I have to admit, yeah, where they said something like, well, I'm, you know, we're disappointed that, you know, the world out there sees us as sexist. And I'm like, you're not my mother. You know, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. You know, I'm like, no, you should really be apologizing for your crappy ad. Not, you know, finding us, being disappointed in us, you know, the rest of the world. That's what made me laugh. It's like, are you serious? You really needed a better, you know, comeback than we're disappointed in you, in your response.
Well,
that was crazy.
But in placing that disappointment too, I think a real good point that you made is that they do have fans, they do have a community, and I think that's I think that's the letdown, is because now their community that loved to be a part of the brand now has to answer for them, now has to feel like they can't like them as much, or so it's not a great moment, and not for maybe the reason that they think it is, that they've been caught in a social media gotcha moment. I think they let their community down.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, will they bounce back? Yes, I don't see why they wouldn't bounce back, you know, but there are brands who you know, who break, you know, there are brands who can be broken through this kind of backlash. You know, there, but for the grace of, you know, whatever it is you worship up there in the clouds. I think it's way more than a storm in a teacup, but I do think it's, I wonder whether they deserve quite the venomous, you know, backlash that they do seem to be getting.
Right. Well, Carrie, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Oh, bless you. Check out Future Factor online. We've got offices in London, Amsterdam and Los Angeles. And, you know, we're there to help brands with their cut through, brands that are at a pivot point, help them, you know, find their voice, use their voice and have impact on culture and society. And hopefully what that impact means is, you know, it's purposeful and it's positive. So that's what we do. So, yeah, please check us out.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Carrie, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you for being there.
And if you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. Please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more on me, check out nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week, I am Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.